The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I am a Bahamian.
Yo. Hey, yo, we come a long way and we just begun. Come on, lift up your heads to the rising sun and just sing it out loud.
I am a Bahamian.
Come on, sing it out loud.
I am a Bahamian.
From Bahamas to an outground island in between. If you know you in love with the sign and cheer, come on, sing it out loud.
I am a Bahamian.
Come on, sing it out loud.
I am a Bahamian.
I am a Bahamian citizen, 242 resident. Native son of the 8 Mile Rock settlement. Highly intelligent, ladies and gentlemen. Let me introduce Papa Smurf
in the element.
Bahamian accent, smooth and so elegant. Use it in a rap song and make it sound eloquent. Any place that
welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9, your spot for fresh news and smart talk all day. You are tuned into Bahamian Soul. To us, culture is always personal. Bahamian Soul. We tell our stories, we celebrate Bahamian, we define ourselves. I've had my fever grass with lemon, and we're ready to begin. Do join us. Call us on 323-6232 or 325-4259. You can text us. Go right ahead on 422-4796 or 466-3305. Now, be sure to check us out and leave a comment on Facebook. That's Bahamian Soul Radio Show, or Twitter, Bahamian Soul 242. And you can send us a comment, and email us on bahamiansoul@gmail.com. This hour is brought to you by Johnson & Associates. Yes, for all your legal needs, call us at 601-3855. Now, you know, today is the best day of the year, basically, because we're talking about a Bahamian Christmas. Think with me. Succulent roast turkey. Lemon-infused fried or baked snapper. Honey mustard ham. Fresh green peas and rice with crab fat and back. Tangy island coleslaw, you know, with raisins and tomatoes. Melt in your mouth, cheesy macaroni, tender boiled plantains, crunchy steamed garlic plantains or broccoli, creamy potato salad, crispy garden salad, made from scratch liver and lobster stuffing, guava duff, cheesecake, fruitcake, Benny coconut and rum cake. Yes, coconut and pineapple tart and rum. Gin and coconut water makes you wanna. This be Bahamian Christmas. Sinful, sensational flavors, orgasmic concoction. That's our Bahamian. And that's a Bahamian Christmas. Today's show highlight a Bahamian Christmas diet and must have in your Christmas pantry. We're with a master chef. He's the owner of Simply Better Catering. I would like to welcome Chef Charles Mizik to Bahamian Soul. And we're talking Bahamian food. And ain't nothing like Bahamian food. Chef Mizik.
Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning, Turks and Caicos.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we're so happy you're here. I'm often amazed at what a Bahamian pantry should have. You know, when it comes to Christmas, I have all sorts of memories. I remember, you know, I didn't remember a lot about turkey, but I do remember as a child, we used to have goat souse and goat meat. That's kind of the things that I remember. But we're going to jump right in our discussion. And I want you to tell me about some of the things that you should have in your pantry. Some of the things that you have in your pantry, Chef.
Hi, good morning again. In my pantry always include the sea salt that we come from iguana.
Pond salt.
Because it's natural.
Yes.
I always have fresh garlic. I also have goat pepper. And my most important herb is always the lemon, the Spanish thyme, which has some minty flavor as well.
You know what? That's the easiest thing to grow.
Yes. A lot of people grow it as a plant, they look at it as flowers, but for me, it's everything in cooking to me. I use it for everything. I use it for basting, I use it for roasting, I use it for garnishing, I use it for marinating, you name it. Thyme is actually my favorite staple in the kitchen.
Interesting.
I can't, it's like an American Express to me. Don't leave home without it.
That Spanish thyme is very good, but guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Here's one thing that I have to have too.
Right.
I have to have that native thyme, the lemon thyme too. And interestingly enough, I combine the two.
Yes.
The Spanish thyme and the native thyme.
Yes. Well, when it comes to the native thyme, you have something that when you're cooking with conch, like either stew conch, steam conch, or conch chowder.
Yes, sir.
The native thyme is actually best. Now, some dishes, obviously, if you're doing like a lobster bisque, you don't want to use the native thyme because sometimes it doesn't, the parent doesn't look as good. So in that case, that's sometimes the Spanish thyme is better.
Aha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now let's look at the meats because mm-hmm. for me, when I think of Christmas, I'm thinking fish firstly.
Right.
I'm thinking turkey.
Yes.
I'm thinking ham. And some
right.
persons would perhaps have fresh pork.
Right.
Now, what are you thinking beyond those meats in terms of Christmas in the Bahamas?
Be quite honest, I think you have hit just about everything. It's only lamb.
Lamb?
Lamb is the only thing missing.
Okay.
That's actually
definitely.
Your favorite.
Yes.
Lamb, definitely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I didn't consider, you know what, when I think of meat,
right.
I honestly think of calling the title of the, I would say the goat, but the goat is the lamb.
Yes, goat is actually the older part of the lamb.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
Like
now,
after 2 years old.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk some seasoning because
right.
I'm excited about the seasoning because for food to taste good, there
yes.
has to be an infusion of seasoning.
Yes.
Now when persons take that, let's say that turkey,
right.
and they want to season that, tell
yes.
me about some of the spices and the seasoning you use from your Bahamian pantry.
Okay, it should be actually simple ingredients. Basically you need the Spanish thyme, I think is best, rather it's better than the native thyme, you know, because it looks better in appearance.
Yes.
You definitely need some fresh garlic. You need some gold pepper. You just need a pinch of native salt because the salt is actually very
salty
and it's natural.
Yes.
And you also need some lemon juice and it must be some oil. Oil and lemon juice combination. That's it. Because oil helps to enhance the flavor.
Okay, when you're seasoning, you're talking about when you're seasoning it?
Yes.
You put, okay, you're mm-hmm. doing basically a dry rub then?
No, basically that is like a marinade.
Okay.
In fact, let's say you have a lot of meat to the season.
Yes, sir.
If you make actually a marinade, only thing you actually need to do is actually dip that meat or that the turkey into that actually marinade and let it sit on the pan overnight and you bake it. All the meat tastes the same and the oil and the lemon juice will actually transfer to the meat.
Okay,
that's
very amazing because here's what my mom does. Okay, she mixed the pond salt.
Right.
She mixed that wonderful gold pepper.
Right.
Then she'll definitely put whatever spices she want to put in there.
Right.
And then she infuses everything
yes.
by simply pushing it in the turkey.
Right.
Now, I don't know what you call that, but that's just the way she does it.
Right.
And every part of the turkey is seasoned.
Right.
Now, for many persons out there, you know, they may say the turkey is dry. If you have a dry turkey and it's seasoned, it still tastes good.
Yes. But see, if based on what I've... Okay. If you are cooking from a whole turkey, right?
Yes.
The most important part of the season has got to be within the intestine, okay, in the stomach area.
Oh.
Whenever you season in the carcass inside, the season actually disperses through the outer when it's actually hot. So you cannot just season a whole turkey outside. It's got to be seasoned from the inside because the heat transfers the flavor through the bones and to the meat. So inside as well as outside has to be seasoned.
Now you have to break that down now because how do you season the inside? Because many of us, we focus on that breast on the outside.
Right.
We put everything below the skin on the outside.
Well, exactly, to be quite honest, it's actually hard to just season a turkey or a whole roast of chicken from the outside unless you're using a plenty season that you rub. But still, that doesn't transfer through the entire meat. Let me give you an example, like something that you may throw away, onion peel.
Yes.
Right? Okay, if you peel an onion and also you have fresh garlic that you peel, take the peel from the onion and the garlic and you put on some thyme and you stuff that within the carcass of the turkey.
Okay.
The scent or the aroma from the onion, the garlic, thyme alone will actually disperse through the bones and to the meat.
Okay.
All right. As simple as onion peel that you throw away.
Yes.
You can actually stuff the carcass with that. And that will actually transfer to the other part of the meat.
Because this is a Bahamian Christmas, and that's the way you're supposed to. It has to be flavorful. If you think about the sense of Christmas,
yes,
you think about that garlic, and
right.
then you think about the gold pepper scents.
Right.
And then you think about the brownie, because many persons use butter or oil on the outside. So when that's crispy and that house simply scented, you know it's Christmas.
Yes, but to be honest, when you say they rub it with butter, I know, listened to the show yesterday,
yes,
right?
Yes.
When it comes to baking or roasting in general,
yes.
I always say it is better to roast on high heat for the half of the time, then you turn the heat down.
That's okay? The old way. That's the way my mom does it.
Yes, that's the best way, because outer temperature transfer inner temperature. If it's hot outside, it transfers to the inside.
Okay.
So rather than cooking it slow, slow tend to make it dry. Many times you buy a turkey, you look at the instruction, and they say 15 minutes every pound.
Yes.
Right? I know many persons, they've read that, they've tried that, and the turkey, they could have actually picked the bone out of it. So it's actually overcooking, too dry. So basically, you just want to for example, I use this, what is called a commercial oven, which is a convection oven that's controlled by
the air, a fan,
circulates heat. So which means that it cooks evenly. Now, because it's a high heat, if I say 350, at home you should actually go 400.
Okay.
All right, so let's say you have a turkey that's going to take 2 hours. You would start it on 400 for 1 hour and then turn it down to 300 for 1 hour. And you will actually get the moist turkey that you want.
Okay, what about covering the turkey now?
No, you don't really have to cover it. Once you, like I say, color quickly, turn it down low, that color will remain. Okay,
and it
won't be dry. No, it won't burn either.
Very intriguing. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about a snapper or perhaps a grouper.
Great.
How do you fix that up for Christmas?
Okay, first of all, I always like my fish on the bone. For example, I just got some of the, we call it the mutton snapper from Abaco.
Okay.
I'll normally take it to my butcher.
Big time.
I'll get it cut up in the fingers.
Yes.
I will marinate it with just a little of my pond salt.
Yes,
also
sir.
My hot pepper, a little oil, also some of my thyme grind up, and then I will actually just marinate that lightly. Now, what Bahamian do is we believe that when you take a lot of lemon juice, and you throw it on the fish, that you actually season the fish. That's not so. What the lemon juice actually is doing is actually almost pre-cooking the fish halfway.
Okay.
So the best time to put lemon juice on a fish is when it's hot.
Ah.
So you want to pan sear it.
My sister Stacy loves this.
Yes, you want to pan sear it.
Yes.
And so on as it is pan seared, if you want a sauce, you could add a little butter, cold butter.
Yes, sir.
And then you add the lemon juice. And let it sizzle, and then you will add some parsley or something, all right? But never overload it with lemon juice, because lemon juice, basically, you're making going towards a sushi. It's already half cooked, and you're actually going to kill the fish. So back to the snapper part for me.
Yes, sir.
I get the large snapper. I take it to my butcher. I let him cut it up into fingers. I season it. Once again, pond salt, goat pepper, mint thyme, and also lemon juice, just a little lemon juice, and oil. Oil helps to marinate meat faster. It transfers the seasoning to the meat. And I would use a nonstick pan, Teflon coated. I would get that hot always. You always let the pan get hot. You add a little oil, olive oil preferably.
Oh, so don't put the pot and then pour the oil and then turn the fire on.
You let the pot get hot first, because it cooks it quicker. Okay, if you let the pot get hot, then you put the oil, you already have a start. All you need to do then is actually add the fish to the oil. Now, very little of you not deep frying, because I don't really deep fry.
Okay.
Add the fish to the pan, turn the fire down, 3 minutes on one side, turn it on the other side, 2 minutes. You take some, squeeze some lemon juice over it, add a little butter and some parsley or something, and you're good to go. 5 minutes roughly, if you have a fillet fish, is all you need to cook a fish.
Okay, what about baking it now? Because I like the concept of stuffing a snapper or perhaps a grouper whole.
Right, okay. As far as baking it, you want to slit the fish down the middle of the bone on both sides, leave the bone in the middle so that the fish doesn't fold. You can then rub your seasoning on the inside either the bone or the fillet part of the fish. Basically, whatever stuffing that you want, it could be just some fine vegetables that you season a little, fresh vegetable that you chopped up finely. Stuff it onto the bone.
Now, I have to stop you right there. Uh-huh. What do you mean by fine vegetables? Because I can tell you about my mother's stuffing. Uh-huh. Hers is just succulent. Anita does some lovely stuffing. She does it with the bread, then she have liver, then perhaps she'll put lobster in there, and then she put her thyme, then she put a celery, and a different seasonings and spices. Now, you just said just now, you're cutting up the vegetables fine. Tell us how to do that.
Well, basically, in culinary, we also have something we call cuts of vegetables.
Okay.
Whereby you can cut a julienne, you can cut a brunoise, you can cut a mesadone, which is actually medium dice, small dice, or you can cut a paysan, which has different shapes, you know, diamonds, squares, rectangle, etc.
Chef, so you just took us around the bush.
You can cut it how you want to.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
You stuff that on the inside of the bone of the fish.
You're just putting the veggies in there.
Yes, inside there. Okay. And you rest the fillet back on the bone. You just butter your pan, or you put it on a, what they call a sheet paper.
Yes, sir.
You turn it over to about 350, based on the size of the fish, anywhere from about 10 to 20 minutes. You can actually bake that fish. And you just rub your seasoning on top of the fish.
No.
Okay, you don't really put nothing else if you don't want to. But not only that, right? When you look at, when you go to a fish fry, you know, they have something they call grilled conch.
Yes.
Okay. In culinary term, we call that en papier. That means cooking on a paper bag.
Okay.
So you can also get your onion, sweet pepper, also if you want celery. But what you want to do first is you want to pan fry them, or you want to saute them first. Put them on the paper. Add your fish on top. If you want plantain, you can add plantain to it. Then you can add your fish. You can cut up some tomatoes, add the tomato on top of the fish, and then you fold it in a paper bag.
Okay, you can put that in the oven?
In the oven, yes. And what happens is when that bag puff, the fish is already cooked. So it could be like 10 minutes or so the bag will puff up.
Okay, you're talking regular brown paper bag everybody know about?
Well, no, I'm actually talking wax paper. I'm talking foil paper. I'm talking about pan liner.
Okay, okay.
Used for sandwiches,
now it's clearer because I was just thinking I can actually use brown paper, which is interesting.
Yeah. But you can actually use brown paper. The problem is with the brown paper is you have to be able to lock the steam in the paper.
And that's going to be difficult.
Yes, that may be a bit difficult.
Okay, so we're covered two meats.
Right.
I want to dive on into the main little sides that we have.
Right.
Now, for me, when it comes to a Bahamian Christmas, I'm thinking plantains. I want to boil that.
Right.
I'm also thinking perhaps some broccoli. I'm going to put some garlic right there to make that nice. And I'm thinking corn.
Okay.
But you know, for typical Bahamian, we want macaroni,
yes.
We want potato salad, and man, we want that peas and rice. But I want you to touch on that peas and rice.
Okay.
Now, for us back home in Kidd Island, we always had that fresh peas, or that fresh bean.
Green peas,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the thing is, when you cook with that, that's special.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Tell us how Bahamians can go about doing that fantastic peas and rice, or bean and rice, or that rice for Christmas.
Okay. First of all, it starts from the oil you use, from the herb. Okay. When you cook your turkey, you're going to get basically dripping from your turkey.
Yes, sir, we Bob.
So that same dripping that you get that has turkey flavor, you use that same dripping. You heat it in the pan. You add your sliced onion, your sliced celery, and you fry with some thyme. And also you put some pork and salt in the pot. You fry them up until it's sauteed, until it's brown. Then you add some fresh chopped tomatoes. You add them fresh chopped tomatoes.
Yes.
And you let
or
that
some boiled tomatoes if you got that.
You don't really need tomato paste.
That's
fresh
right.
tomatoes. Okay. Once that is fried up, you add the peas to it. You can fry the peas out for a couple of minutes. Then you can actually add the rice. You can actually add the rice at the raw stage. Now, in the culinary field, we like to use stock, all right?
Yes.
The stock of the foundation.
Flavor.
Apparently.
That's what that
Not
means.
Not only that, right? If you have the right color stock, you don't actually need to use kitchen bouquet.
Okay.
So,
in you color the rice.
Yes. If you're actually a real chef, you don't really have to cheat with kitchen bouquet. Mm-hmm. You just use the stock.
Okay? You just insulted half of my family.
I'm sorry. Well, they can come to classes.
Yes, they
I'll
can. We can, yes.
Greeting. So you can actually, you heat the stock, and you throw it onto the rice. Now, the rice can have to be like 1 inch below the water or the liquid line. You turn the fire on medium. When it simmers down to where you can see the rice, then you cover it up with maybe a plastic wrap or something, and you put a damper underneath the pot.
Yes.
A damper you don't get from either large
you
can
cut
or something.
That and you keep that.
Yes. And maybe in half an hour, so basically in a whole hour, the pot will be up, the peas and rice will be cooked.
You're talking sweet, sensational peas and rice. And let me tell you, I had a challenge with having rice. Well, I have to cheat quite often because every Sunday I would have to have my mother's peas and rice because she'd do it really good.
Right.
And you know what? She always add coconut milk. I think the secret in a Bahamian peas and rice is that stock.
Yes.
And perhaps that coconut milk.
Milk, yes.
And then we always use oils that would come from meat. You save those.
Yes. Yes.
And that really adds the flavor and life to the rice itself.
Yes, because the oil you already paid for when you buy that duck or chicken or the turkey, the oil is free because you already purchased that. So you don't have to use the extra oil that you have in your kitchen. Okay? Not only that, years ago I remember in the hotel for
you. You can go.
In the hotel field, I remember there's a lot of acne fat that extracted from duck, from bacon. So the old mamas in the kitchen used to actually take time on asking for the bacon fat, the duck fat, and that's where they cook the rice. So that's basically where you actually got all that beautiful flavor.
Isn't that intriguing?
Yes.
Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Chef Mizik will give us more. We have much to ask, much to share, more to discover and learn on the other side of the break. I'm Alicia Hart, and you're listening to Bahamian Soul on Guardian Radio 96.9.
When your car is really smelly and you don't know what to do, we have got the solution. Pick up a prickle or two. We all are way Bahamian. You can see it in our design. We're promoting our own culture, cause we got you in mind.
Prickle Air Fresheners can be purchased at Rolls Auto, East Street South, the Paint Depot on Mont Royal Avenue, and SO Palmdale Station. Get a prickle today. The scent that sticks.
Get a prickle, cause you'll get the scent that sticks. Get a prickle.
But what you scared of?
Grammy, if I tip off the police and somebody find out...
Ain't nobody gonna find out. Crime Stoppers ain't the police. They just does works with the police.
Same difference.
No, boy. With Crime Stoppers, you're safe. When you call their number, at Mr. Bahamas altogether and go directly to Miami or Toronto, Canada. Ain't nobody gonna know your voice or that you name Bertram or that you live down the alley.
Grammy, you realize you IDing me right now?
Who listening? Boy, I raise no criminal. If you see what gone down, call Crime Stoppers. They get no personal info. They just give you a PIN number.
So how you know so much about them?
How you think your uncle get up Fox Hill?
You serious?
If he won't be Kane, I able to turn him in.
So uncle know you was a snitch?
Crime Stoppers ain't never gonna tell nobody. And for top info, they just give you cash.
You get paid and all?
You eating good, right? The light's still on, eh?
Grammy!
Bite your man up. Stop the crime before it's your time. Huh?
Call 328-TIPS or from the Family Islands 242-300-TIPS.
Welcome back to Bahamian Soul. I'm Alicia Hart on Guardian Radio 96.9. You can listen on television. That's channel 969 on Cable Bahamas. Also, we want you to join in the conversation where we're talking to Chef Master Chef, Chef Mizik. So call us, please, on 323-6232 or 325-4259. You can text us as well on 422-4796 or 466-3304. And of course, you can hit us up online. That's Facebook, Bahamian Soul Radio Show, Twitter, Bahamian Soul 242, or email us on bahamiansoul@gmail.com. Now, you know this is among my favorite times. This is Bahamian riddle time. We have to understand that identity for Bahamians, it's very important. And on this show, we are focusing on who we are and what we are about as a people. Now we're going to have some old school Bahamian fun. Here we go. Last show, we didn't have one, but we understand why. We had many questions. Marittle, marittle, mirandio. My father had a thing. Remove the outside. Cook the inside. Eat the outside. Throw away the inside. What am I? Now, you know you have to say it twice. A little slower. Marittle, marittle, mirandio. My father had a thing. Remove the outside. Cook the inside. Eat the outside. Throw away the inside. What am I? Think about it for a minute. That's our riddle for the day. Let the kids help you. And also share with them, because we want to remember all things cultural. Are you hungry for more Bahamian food? I'm sure you are. And of course, if you weren't listening, we're sitting in with Chef Charles Mizik. Bahamian food. We want you to eat more of it, remember it, and know how to do it right. And we're having a delicious Christmas. And we're going to jump right back into our conversation. And on the break, you know, we were having a conversation as relates to moving forward and doing it the Bahamian way. So we touched on rice. We touched on turkey. We didn't mention ham, nor did we talk about a Bahamian breakfast. So before we jump into that wonderful ham, let's touch that Bahamian breakfast. You know, the time when you wake up on that Christmas morning. What are we eating, Chef Mizik?
Definitely for Christmas morning, you want to wake up to the smell of either stew conch, stew fish, some yellow grits, and definitely potato bread.
Potato bread.
And there's no Christmas without it.
That's right. We want potato bread.
Yes.
And you know something? Back home, we always used to have fresh mutton sauce.
Yes.
And my daughter would need that bread. Monica was excellent with bread, and she was very good with sauce. And it was simply done.
Right.
You know? She boiled it. She used her lime. She used her goat pepper. Mm-hmm. And it was just beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Bahamian Christmas.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Sauce, more sauce and stew.
Oh, Lord. And you have to have lime and you have to have goat pepper and some finger pepper to boot.
Definitely.
Oh, and you can't leave out the bread, because you need the bread, but you need to do the bread right.
Yes.
Potato bread may be complex for people, but guess what?
Uh-huh.
It's not complex at all.
Not
do you
really.
Want to share with us how to make that wonderful potato bread?
Well, first of all, to start off with, you need the native potato. That's the fresh potato.
Not that pink stuffy.
No, that one too. That's too watery. And then you have to grate that potato.
It's called work.
The hand grater.
Yes.
There's nothing. It's not a machine thing. It's actually something done by hand. Yeah, I remember my father used to make the grater. He used to put a lot of holes and tin.
Yes.
And then cover the...
Around a board.
Cover the round board, yeah. And then we used to be there scraping. So obviously you need to have fresh potatoes. And then, you need sugar. You need egg. You need flour. And potato bread actually bake on a low temperature. Always.
Okay.
Because it's actually a tough thing. I don't have a recipe on hand, but potato bread, obviously, you need fresh potato, fresh ingredients, first, most of all.
And you can't leave out one special ingredient, a little black pepper.
Yes.
Just a dash of
pepper.
Black pepper.
That's
to
right.
make it right.
That's
and
right.
you don't need it. You don't need it to rise, so you don't need that stuff to make it pump up. So for person out there who like things natural, you know, potato bread is the best way to go. And if you want to think about it for a minute, another ingredient is very critical. We forgot that. Coconut.
Yes. That's right.
You cannot have it without coconut. Lots and lots of coconut.
Right.
That's the way you do it. And man, let me tell you, you have a belly full in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is this, right? Mm. When I think of Christmas, I too think, let's deal with the ham first, and then we'll get to dessert and some drinks.
Okay.
So how would you prepare your Christmas ham?
Okay. Some ham you buy may be a bit salty.
Yes.
The salty ham, you want to soak it in milk.
What?
Overnight.
Wait,
milk.
Wait. Milk.
Yeah, you want
this
soak milk?
This milk you buy from the store.
Milk, yes. The regular white milk, it withdraws the salt from the ham. Okay? And then you want to put the ham in just plain water, maybe tap water. You want to bring it to a boil on medium heat for 1 hour.
Okay.
And then you want to leave it in the water after you cut the fire off for another hour. After you've done that, you want to make a mixture of brown sugar, okay. All right, preferably light brown sugar, and mustard, okay, mustard your preference. And then you want, you can also add to it a bit of herbs to it, and some fruit juice. I would say you do not add pineapple juice for everybody. That's
yeah,
the old
like
way.
Pineapple.
Because there's bromelain. It's a protein of pineapple that affects somebody. That everybody cannot take pineapple. So, you know, you have mangoes. You have papaya. You have pears. You can actually grind them up and actually you can actually mix them up with the pine, with the brown sugar and the mustard. And you can actually rub that slowly on ham. Put some cloves. You have to scorch it first of all, like diamond cut.
Definitely.
Put some cloves between it, rub it on the ham, then you want to put it into the oven, preferably foil paper on your pan because you know the sugar, it will stick to it, to the pan. It takes a longer time to clean. And you just put it in your slow oven, maybe like 250 for like half an hour. Then your ham is good and ready and beautiful. And if you want to garnish it with some fresh fruit, of course, by the way, do that.
Okay, that sounds intriguing. I didn't have a clue about the milk thing.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you the way my mom does it. Once again, she boils it. She put that gold pepper and she seasons the water first, which is intriguing. I mean, I think it's a lot of waste, but that's this the way she's been doing it for years.
Right.
She seasons that water with her gold pepper and her pond salt.
Okay.
And she and she lets that boil.
Okay.
And once it's out, we've never had a scorched ham.
No way.
She simply takes it out and she bakes it and she covers it in foil.
Okay.
And that's basically it. And she put her spices and seasoning. Of course, this water is very important to her.
Mm-hmm.
Her spices and her seasonings, they're very important. And she add lime to that water as well.
Okay.
So you have a limey kind of ham. Now, in recent years, we've been doing the honey roasted ham.
Roasted. Okay.
We don't put the spread as it bakes.
Right.
When it's hot, we take it and cut up.
Yes.
We then slather that on the ham after. So it's an after effect. Mm. That's the way we kind of do it. But guess what?
There's another way you can actually do it is once you've actually boiled the ham, and like I said, for 1 hour, and you let it moisten hot water for an hour, you can then slice your ham. You can just take some brown sugar, some water, some of the frozen orange juice, or any of the fruit juice that you have, and then you can let it boil with some allspice and some cloves and also some bay leaf. You let it boil down.
We're forgetting rosemary. How could we?
That's
an interesting flavor too.
Rosemary.
Yes.
Well, it's based on the herb you want to use, okay? And you can actually add also raisins. So you let it boil. You take
with
some,
the raisins?
Yes.
Oh.
And you can take them cornstarch, dilute it in water. You thicken that, and you can actually throw that on your ham. And you can have a nice glaze, papaya, pear, or a raisin ham, you know, without the old-fashioned pineapple like everybody doing.
Okay, make it interesting. Make it more Bahamian. Put you on stamp.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. Now, you know, my favorite part of all Christmas is dessert.
Yes.
I must advise you of this. I love my Bahamian dessert.
Okay.
From guava duff.
Right.
Now, you may say cheesecake ain't Bahamian, but you could Bahamianize that. You could actually have a guava duff.
Right.
Change from the guava duff.
Mm-hmm.
Put the guava in the cheesecake mix.
Yeah.
Or you may have some dilly. I like to freeze the dilly. You can have a
That's
dilly cheesecake.
Yes.
You could mix it up so much. Any Bahamian fruit.
Yes, you can.
You can actually cheesify it and make
you can.
It Bahamian.
Yes. Speaking of dilly, dilly was something that I came up with maybe more than 10 years ago. I created something called a conch cake, and I actually had like a dilly papaya sauce.
You said
sauce.
Conch cake?
Conch cake, yeah.
Okay, then.
You know, yes.
That's Bahamian.
Yeah, conch cake, definitely, you know. It's fresh conch grind up with some herbs and thyme, And you, rather than you deep fry it, it's actually pan fried. And I did like a dilly sauce to accompany it. And so dilly was something that I came up with years ago. Sabah dilly. When I have dilly now, I actually freezes it.
Yes, that's what you do.
Yes.
My Aunt Sheba does dilly bread, which is awesome.
In fact, just the other night, I did for my student in class, I did a shrimp farce or a French shrimp sausage. And I made a dilly aioli, which is a dip to go with it. And they wouldn't drink. And they, you know,
we are intrigued by all things Bahamian, especially when it's called dessert.
But back to Bahamian, you said, talking about coconut and pineapple tart.
Yes.
That's normally the Christmas dessert.
That's it. And right. Benny, can't even Benny cake and coconut cake.
Oh, that's right. Yes, Benny.
Yes.
And peanut cake.
Oh, yes. The peanut cake has to be in the mix.
Yes, definitely. Now, the things like the Benny and the peanut cake, they're actually easy to make. Because basically what you're doing actually is you are cooking sugar in the water.
Yes.
And you're adding them. And what you want is actually have like a marble slab table that you want to grease. And basically you just pour them out and they set. And they come like brittly. So they are some actually easy dessert to make because you're actually making a syrup flavor.
Man, you saying that because you know, but we can leave that right there for another time you come back. But we have, you can't leave out. We can't leave out rum cake and fruit cake.
Right. Now,
those two are important and special as well.
Right. Years ago, I did a fruit cake and it got overwhelmed, so I left it now to the bakers.
It's too much, huh?
Yeah, too many persons asking. I never even said it. I just used to give it to family members, you know.
So as a gift.
Too, yes.
But now they want you to do it professionally.
Yes.
It's too much work.
Yeah,
it is work.
It's actually taken away from the cooking, the cooking part. So,
man, but you have to do it the way my mom does it. Anita does it like this. Mm-hmm. She do her fruit cake like a week in advance.
Yes.
So it doesn't interfere with her cooking because you know we have much demands of her.
Oh yes.
She has the whole menu to do. We simply aid her. So you know she's the head cook and we're her cook assistant or kitchen assistant. So you know She do all the baking far in advance.
Our fruits are not soaked like 3 months before. Mommy, that's a planning process, you know?
She soak in advance as well.
Okay, yes.
Yes, she does. And we appreciate all the rum that comes with Christmas. Not that we're bibbers and not that we're drunkards, you know. we just like the flavor.
Yes. You know, back to talking Bahamian dessert, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, the reason why something is called a pound cake, right?
Yes.
Because it means you use a pound of everything.
Ah.
And it doesn't call for a pound of baking powder. Baking powder is omitted.
Okay?
Yeah, baking powder is omitted. Where the aeration comes in is actually when you're adding the flour. So basically to the end, you're folding the flour.
Yes.
And because of the folding the flour, you actually get the aeration to rise. You know,
so the baking powder is not even necessary,
and you don't use baking powder.
But you need a good pound cake at Christmas as well.
Yes, you can actually create your own without using baking powder. You know, but also it must be moist.
Yes,
and the moisture must come by using either half butter and half fat. I mean, like the Crisco and so on. All butter, it'll probably tend to be sort of dry. But these days, they actually buy everything now. They actually already added. Butter ready out of data's out of water. So many cakes you may buy today is not made fresh, to be quite honest.
Oh, Lordy.
I'm telling you, you know.
So you should try it for yourself.
Well, I'm giving the recipe now. It's a pound of everything, folding the flour to the end. Fresh cake is beautiful and they tasty as they want it.
That's right. And of course, for persons who may need your assistance, you know, you have some classes. Tell us a little bit about that before we continue.
I have been teaching gourmet cooking now from the Holy Trinity College opened in 1993. That's a new college. And I would run into many of my professional students in the food, and they kept saying, Chef Mizek, you know, you have to do a part two. So, you know, I said, you know, I need to build something of my own. So I have built a kitchen studio in Sayers Hill opposite the park that I teach gourmet cooking one and two for professional persons. I do small classes.
Okay.
And the classes
that's the way
actually,
it should be.
Yes, small classes that I can give my individual attention to everybody. And they run from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., six days, one evening per week from 6 to 9 p.m. And it's 6 weeks.
Give us a contact for you.
My contact is 325-4792. My cell is 557-3000. 2619, or you can email me at simplybettercatering@yahoo.com, or just Charles Mizek, or Simply Better on Facebook.
And I can tell you this, his food off the chains. We don't have to worry about that.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Because you know at Christmas, you don't have time for things to be half done. This is the time where you celebrate the birth of Christ.
Yes.
And you know things have to be done right.
Yes.
And you don't want no half dried turkey, no mix up macaroni that ain't cheeseful. You need everything right.
Yes.
And that's the way we have to do it. Well, we have a caller. Welcome to Bahamian Soul. Thank you for joining us.
How you doing, Isha?
We're good.
You know, and to your guest,
Chef Mizek.
Let me give you a recipe.
Yeah.
Cook that, season the ham up any way you like. I don't care if it's whatever spice you want to use. And cook that bad boy in Coca-Cola. That sugar kills that salt, and that acid in that Coke, and that broke down, as we would say, it breaks down that meat.
Coca-Cola.
And you will slap your mama.
Well, actually, we're supposed to talk about the candied yam.
Yes.
With the candy yam, you take a Coca-Cola, and you boil that with, you wash your sweet the yam, you would slice it, you throw like a can of Coca-Cola, you sprinkle some cinnamon and some brown sugar, and you would cover that, and then you let it bake in the oven like on 350 for like 1 hour.
So it candies your yam, and it also could help your ham. So Coke can be good for you if used in cooking.
What it does is the sugar cancels out a lot of the salt, but the acid in Coke breaks down. It breaks down. It's like putting acid on something. It breaks it down and tenderizes the yam. The yam come out very tender, I suspect, and the ham even more tender. Not no can. Now you need two of them, 2 liter, and you boil that down good with that Coke. And listen, you'll be slapping your mom. I go on.
Graham, I didn't realize you cooked, my brother. Thank you for calling us. And what a wonderful contribution.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so we can use Coke and different things. But you know, candied yam are very important.
Yes.
As you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Candied yam is also a must on Christmas Day.
I think it is.
Yes.
It goes good with your meat.
Yes. Also, we'll be talking about the turkey. The students that come to me, I also teach them how to debone turkey. So every student that actually come to my classes, they know how to debone turkey.
Oh, Lord, I have to come to your class, Chef.
How to bake a turkey. Because the difference is, deboning a turkey, it takes you 1 hour less time, or take you half the time than you bake a whole turkey, and you get more portion. From the turkey that's deboned.
So you're able to share it up better.
Yes, you are. Because also the leg, you take all of the muscle out of the leg. You're able to slice that. And from one latte, you can get between 25 to 30 portions.
Why does this sound complex?
It's deboning. Not complex. I call my company Simply Better because I teach you the better way, the simple way.
Okay. Now I'm believing you. Now I'm confident that I can come and learn how to debone a turkey. Now I'm certain many Bahamians out there who ain't have no clue as relates to deboning turkey. They're like, whatever they say, we keeping it whole. But guess what? You know what learning is about? It's about enhancing your cultural activities. Yes. First, you know how you do things, the old way, the way your mother did it.
Yes.
And then as the years continue, it is your responsibility to add and enhance that particular thing.
Yes.
That's true culture.
Yes.
Now, you ain't gonna change it up totally so it don't be Bahamian, but you keep it cultural, you keep it real, because you want real Bahamian things.
Oh, yes.
Nah, nothing realer than, you know, back in the day, we used to make our own rum.
Mm-hmm.
I think many persons forgot how. And, you know, we can make our own wine. But let's talk a little bit about Bahamian drinks for Christmas.
Yes.
Tell me about yours. But before we do that, we have a phone call. Should I take that? Okay. Welcome to Bahamian Soul. Talk to us. I think we lost that person. So back to our thought as relates to Bahamian drinks.
Well, on Christmas, Bahamian drink is obviously the switcher.
Okay.
I always believe that if you are making switcher, first of all, you have to boil the sugar and water.
Okay.
And you would cut the lime, juice, or you put the lemon leaf. And you, when you cut the stove fire off, you would let them actually infuse until you would draw on tea bag.
Aha.
So the lemon peel carries a lot of flavor.
We throw that away.
Yeah, we throw that away. But that's actually all of the, actually the flavor and the
intensity
right
is right there.
Yes, right
the
there.
And the nutrients.
And that is actually more stronger than actually you'll find the juice itself.
Okay.
And
because, we're learning.
Yes, and also you can actually, after you, so you boil the sugar and water, you peel the lemon peel, you cut the fire off, you let them immerse or infuse in the water, along with some lemon leaf as well.
You know, I try on this, right? You know, mm-hmm. I, from the old school, I do the old way. You squeeze it. You put the sugar, you stir it, and you throw the thing away. Now, I like to add mint or, you know, something fanciful, but I'm going to try your way, and I'm going to tell you about it.
But with the mint, actually, you want to also add the mint while it's hot and let the mint leaves draw.
So you'll get more from it
with
the
stronger
boiling.
Stronger flavor.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're on Bahamian Soul. Talk to us. Okay, we've dropped another call, but that's okay. Back to our conversation. Now, what other Bahamian drink do you think of at Christmas time?
Well, there's always the fruit punch.
Of course, we like that fruit punch
now. Call it Bahama Mama or something.
Uh-huh.
But the fruit punch. And basically, you want to take basically orange juice, your grenadine.
Yes.
One of the key ingredients, obviously, is...
How come that gets so expensive, though? But that's just an aside.
Well, that's not that expensive, you know. Grenadine is probably the cheapest thing.
You think?
Yeah.
Man, you've been... Lord, forgive me for saying the word.
Yeah. Grenadine is one of the cheapest things because, you know, you can stretch that.
You know what? I don't like the idea for my drink. If I am doing, you know, a large batch, and you need a large batch for Christmas, you need two bottles. Not that two. You're looking at $10, man.
Actually, no. There's a shortcut as well, you know.
Okay, tell us the shortcut.
Actually, you can boil sugar, you can make a tea bag infusion.
Okay.
Just Lipton tea, boil the sugar, infuse the tea, add the frozen orange juice, and add some pineapple juice, add a drop of lean parent sauce.
Yes. Lean what?
Lean parent sauce.
Okay,
lean parent sauce
that
to balance it. And the food sauce, they call it Worcestershire sauce.
Oh!
Yes, that.
Okay, wonderful.
That gives you a nice balance. And you put your ice and you're good to go. That's the Bahamian way.
Okay.
You order tea bag and the sugar, hot water.
Yes, okay. And it's inexpensive, that way.
Yes, that's right.
Intriguing.
Forget the grenadine.
Yes. Okay, we have our caller back, so we're going to say hello. Welcome to Bahamian Soul.
Hey, good day, how you doing?
We're good, thank you.
This is my dragon here from North Africa. Yeah, I was wondering about the turkey. I know normally during the Christmas time, I normally do all the turkey. I put the turkey in a bucket of fresh water, a little touch of salt, and five lemon you cut up and let deep like about 24 hours before you're ready to bake it, a little touch of honey. I just wondered if you ever tried like that before. And then jerk up with fork a couple of times all over the turkey, and by ready for it that morning, just throw in the bacon. Crispy and slide a little bit of butter up inside the turkey and you're good to go.
Okay.
You're
talking about the bucket?
No, he's asking the chef if you ever tried like that.
Oh, no, I've never tried that, you know, because I don't really...
Yeah, but that's an old school way on
that's
the island. In Abaco, a lot of people do it like that.
Oh, no.
You
know? I've never tried that.
Yeah, you try one.
But that's good to know that.
And lemon and let it steep for about 24 hours and the lemon is pull all the whatever the germs and bacteria the turkey might have created. And touch the salt, just pull all that out and it stays in the water. And that touch of honey.
And that helps to what you say, to tenderize it as well on season?
Yeah. It's tenderize it and pull out whatever infection the turkey had during his lifetime of living, you know. That pulls everything out. The lemon does pull everything out of the turkey. All that grease is come down in the water. You take the turkey out.
Yes.
The turkey, the water greasy in the morning. That salt, the touch of salt and lemon is do the job.
Okay.
I just wanted to share that with you. That's the way I does it. A lot of family minds does it.
Yes. Okay. We thank you so much for calling and sharing.
Yes.
All right.
By the way, that's the way my grandmother and my mother would do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are familiar with putting the turkey in the bucket, ensuring there is an infusion of flavors and wonderful seasoning with that pond salt, some goat pepper, and you make sure it sits there and some lime as well. But of course, we know we're cooking it. But you know what? That's the old traditional way. That's the way they do it on the island, just like that.
But you know, Alicia, I've never actually run into a tough turkey. You know, I've never really encountered a tough turkey.
You mean because you cook it?
Huh?
Because you know how.
Yeah, I have never experienced a tough turkey. I know here people talk, but they do this, the tenderized and all. I've never really experienced a tough turkey.
You know, it perhaps become difficult to eat when you don't do it right.
I guess so.
When you cook it too long.
Well, definitely, yeah. You know, it breaks up. You mince it. But I've never heard about a fresh turkey or a turkey that, or a tough turkey. I also hear also talking about tauren, right?
Yes.
Okay. You know, because this is the Christmas season, everybody may probably run late on buying, purchasing the turkey. The weather, the temperature now is sort of cool outside.
Yes.
You can actually take your turkey because most of the ice is always in the intestine.
Yes, sir.
That's the part that starts to deteriorate faster.
Aha.
So what you can actually do is you leave it on a tray, probably overnight, out of the fridge if you're in a hurry, and leave it in the paper. And the following morning, you can actually just start to cut that. And if you move to the metal piece, open the leg, there's ice on the neck inside. You just pull it out, season your turkey inside if you're cooking it whole. Like I said before, put your onion peel, your garlic peel of your whole garlic, some thyme, some bay leaf, put some salt and some also a goat pepper in the middle. Then you want to make a rub with the same garlic, the pepper, the salt and the thyme. Mix that in a little bit of oil, lemon juice, and you rub and you just massage it over the turkey, or just press them over the turkey, and you put it into an oven. Like I say, high temperature, 400 for 1 hour, then turn it down for another hour and a half, like on 300. Your turkey good to go. So 2.5 hours, 400. 1 hour, 300, 5.5, you're good to go. Don't look at that 3 hours and 3.5 hour thing.
That's the way you cook it till it can't eat good.
Right. Like I always say, when you're roasting, start fast, turn down fire.
That's right.
That's the key.
And look at the clock. Time it. Be sure to time it. Now, here's another thing, right? When it comes to Christmas, we're going back to drinks, of course. And I like a fantastic punch, but I want some rum in there, or I really like my Bahamian thing, so I want that pineapple or that coconut rum. And then, you know what, I don't do those wonderful drinks from the store, but I think Bahamians forgot when you have your bush tea. That's fantastic. But here's what you can do. You can make a fantastic drink from your lemon leaf,
yes,
your pear leaf,
yes,
whatever fruit leaf you
that's
have.
Right. Canep leaf,
that's
you name
right.
It. Yes.
You put that in boiling water.
Yes.
And you boil that, and
right,
it's a fantastic concoction.
Right.
And it's Bahamian.
Yes.
And you add whatever flavorings you like. I like ginger. There's something special for me as relates.
Ginger.
I like cooking with it, firstly,
yes,
and I like it in drinks.
Also, ginger is also good in vegetables as well. You know,
okay,
when you're like stir frying, you know, ginger helps to perk up everything, even in chicken.
Okay.
You know, or turkey. Yeah, ginger is still good. Fresh ginger now.
Yes.
You know, we're not talking about
dried
powder
stuff. Don't buy that stuff.
No.
Don't
fresh.
Do it. Just do not
definitely
do it.
Fresh. But when it comes to cooking, I always say use natural flavoring, salt, pepper, thyme. You know, stay away from the completeness and the next thing, you know.
Yes, keep
natural
it natural
season
as possible,
yes,
and Bahamian as possible.
Yes.
And we would advise you as we close on out the show, you know, you can grow some of these things in your yard.
Yes.
As you cook, you know, you go outside, you pull your Spanish thyme.
Your rosemary.
That's right.
Your basil.
Basil is the
yes
most fantastic thing on the planet to cook with.
Yes.
There's nothing like it.
No, that's
you,
right.
You pull your basil, and you know, you have a number of trees out there. Whatever. Oh, and we forgot something that we can use as well. You know, you always want to add little things. So for those of you out there, shepherd's needle.
Shepherd, that's right.
You
yes
know, once well, once you could get out your mind of the dogs peeing on it.
Right.
Get that out of your mind.
Also hibiscus, you know.
hibiscus. Oh, I love
well
hibiscus.
Hibiscus
do
well
a hibiscus drink as well. But
yes,
hibiscus is very good in cooking.
Yes.
Imagine a color.
That's right.
That just makes everything punctured. You
yes
know, it's like you know, you have to add your commas and your full stop and your exclamation mark.
Yes.
That's your seasoning
of course
to
yes
tighten things up and make it awesome.
That's right. Mm.
you know, and you have to do it Bahamian. So, you know, your mother will tell you and teach you, but you know, you can add to enhance it to make it special.
Yes, and you also have like the cocoa plump around now that you can also embrace that in some hot water and get a cocoa plump drink as well. You
okay.
Or cocoa plump dressing, you know.
That's right. Use your native fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
And buy Bahamian, please.
We have a lot of things on this island that, you know, that we take for granted, that, you know, we just look at and bypass. But there's a lot of natural food that we can actually use, that you can enhance, you can make money from, make a living from. And we can also help to grow the Bahamian culture and advance the Bahamian culture, but we don't. You know?
We must consciously think about this as the new year rolls on in, as you celebrate the holidays with your family and you hold them close and you remember all the good times, as you remember those who were dear to you who were perhaps would have died. Yes. You know what? Focus on who you are as a people. Focus on what makes you special. It'll make you more happy.
And where you came from.
That's right. You don't have to spend so much money.
No.
It's the little things that are very, very special. Your Bahamian food, your junkanoo, and your church.
I always tell kids today, you know, our parents were responsible for breakfast and dinner. Lunch was on us. So the cocoa plum, the palm leaf and all that.
Yes, in the heart.
You know, the heart, yes. The what do you call it? The almond. There was our lunch.
Yes.
You know, they were our lunch.
And let me tell you something. You did not eat too much. Because if you think about it, if you go to the tree with the almonds, right?
Yeah.
You have to crack that.
Yes.
How many of those things you want to crack? After you finish 10, you tired.
10, that's right. That's right.
You're not going to eat too much of that.
But 10 was enough for lunch.
More than enough.
That's right.
And you go to the dilly tree and you eat that.
Yes.
And you are happy and full.
Yes.
That's the way you do it in the Bahamas.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And we love our food and we love our fruits.
We do. Oh, yes.
And you know what? Christmas time is about celebrating. So as you celebrate, cook well.
Yes.
Try to avoid the artificial.
Yes.
Definitely. Try to remember the way your grandma used to do it,
yes.
The way your mommy used to do it.
Oh, yes.
And you know what? They used to do it all natural. This all natural things, it come from the Bahamas. When you talk about natural food, natural this, and doing it organic, that's the way we used to.
That's
I think we've had amnesia and we've forgotten a little bit, but
that's right.
You know what? That's the way we did it.
That's
we'll continue to do it.
The yard chicken, everything.
That's right. The yard chicken, your own goat, your own pig or
hog. Right. Even the duck.
That's right. We used to have ducks.
Yes, and pigs. Everybody had pigs. So pork is actually a favorite for time. To be honest, pork is actually a favorite for Christmas, you know?
It truly is.
In fact, I forgot the whole roasted pig. You know, you can't, suckling pig, you can't forget that.
No, you cannot. Oh, yes. You cannot
plenty
forget.
Plenty pepper, plenty garlic.
Man, what you gonna do without gold pepper? What you gonna do without pawn salt?
What you can do without your rosemary?
And your thyme.
Or the garden. That's right.
And your basil. You can grow all these things and mint.
Food isn't the same without it.
It definitely is not.
No.
But you know what? For those of you who have so much this Christmas, and we are talking about Bahamian food, it's Bahamian to share.
Yes.
There are many among us who don't have. So, you know, remember the old ways.
Yes.
If you have 10 pineapples, you keep one and you share the rest.
Give thanks and share.
Most definitely.
That's right.
But we're so happy you joined us. And, you know, Bahamian Soul is about connecting our past and present and our future. And we had the fantastic Chef Mizik. We're so happy he came to be with us and to share with us. And when you think of Bahamian Soul, this radio show, please remember to tweet us. Remember to email us. Remember to check out our Facebook account. It's all about Bahamian. And also, we are to remember the season by celebrating our families, remembering, eat, drink, and be merry in Bahamian culture. May our strength be strong. Take care of our memories. Honor the Bahamian in you. We thank you for joining us. And it's been a pleasure on Bahamian Soul. We're so proud to have had Chef Mizik. Do take a class. Celebrate culture. Yes. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I am a Bahamian citizen, 242 resident, native son of the 8 Mile Rock settlement, highly intelligent, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce Papa.